One of the things we want to do on a regular basis is pray for the persecuted church around the world. And this month is an emphasis on that in a lot of ministries who deal with that. Open Doors Ministries, Voice of the Martyrs. There's a real good book to get a hold of, Operation World, that gives a picture of God's work in every country on earth. Pretty great resource. But wanted to take some time today to pray with you for Christians who are persecuted in the hardest countries to follow the Lord. So this is a 10 strong persecutors of believers as far as governments go, and you could recognize some from the news and so on. North Korea, just anti-God for many, many decades. And so there are believers there. Pray for their ability to follow in rough and harsh conditions. Eight of the list there are predominantly Muslim countries that are hardline against Christians, against people becoming Christian, Muslims becoming Christians. They're dead set against that. Some have limited government at this time, so often when you have hardly any governments, persecution of Christians rises. It's something to keep in mind, such is the case for Iraq, Afghanistan, and Somalia. Syria, same thing. Where there's no strong government, you know, violence rises. ISIS rises, Al-Qaeda rises when there's no government to keep it out. Pakistan, strong Muslims. Sudan, predominantly Sharia law in the north on the attack against Christians in the south. Iran, the old country of Persia, been really against the Lord for thousands of years. Daniel had to deal with the king of Persia. Nigeria, country trying Sharia law. Saudi Arabia, nice on the outside, real nasty on the inside. Can't build a church, can't pass out a Bible, don't talk very loudly about the Lord to other people. So a lot of persecution going on. And to know, you know, the folks who are under persecution, they say, pray for me so that I can persevere, keep following God no matter what. We could identify with that. And also pray for open doors to share Christ, because it's not easy to share Christ when it's basically illegal. So, and protection, too. We pray for their protection, even though often they don't request that. So what would you pray with me, just saying, Lord, you love the people under persecution, and God is sending the gospel to nations through them, through believers. Let's pray together. Father, you know the countries that are hardest to follow you, and whatever happens on the outside, we know, Lord, the biggest danger is sin on the inside of our soul. That'll stop us faster than any government can. So we pray for the folks, Lord, under outward persecution, that they would be faithful. Thank you that they are. They're examples to us of how to be strong and merciful and follow you under great duress. And yet they do it with a wisdom. They don't street corner preaching too much, or their preaching quickly ends, but they go one to one. They go family to family. They pray. They serve. So we can learn from them, since most of us don't do the street corner preaching either. And so give them protection. Give them open doors, Lord, as their desire is to spread your good word. And thank you, Jesus, as your Bible said, all authority on heaven and earth is given to you. So you're in authority over these rebellious nations, and you have a plan to reach their citizens. We ask for your mercy on people, even not just the Christians, but the ones who don't hear, because things are shut down around them. But you'll send faithful witnesses. Thank you, Jesus, for that. In your name we pray. Amen. And we were going through Romans for the past couple of months, scheduled for chapter 12, moving up to chapter 13, being it's an election week. So we're thankful for the opportunity to vote and that responsibility. There's a nice prayer in your bulletin after the benediction listed. Lord Jesus, would you give me the honor of voting for the candidates of your choice? I would be delighted to do your will. And that's a great way to vote. Who was that one fella? I already mentioned him for saying what kind of person he was. Looking at God being over government, real important theme in the Bible. We can learn from it. Human government, you know, it's not all it's pumped up to be in our system. We think it's the be-all and end-all of life itself, especially since we have responsibility as voters. But not so much in the Bible. It was God governing and then people trying to follow him. Lives changed, and so then societies are changed. Okay, and so that's the way you want to look at it from the Bible's point of view. If you look at the governments in the Old Testament, now this was governments of God's people. Israel and then Judah, as the kingdom was eventually split. And if you looked at all their leaders, okay, kings, you know, who was in charge? What kind of trend were they setting toward the Lord? 43 kings over a 500-year period. Six followed the Lord. They tried to do the right thing. Okay, six of them. 37 followed their own sinful ways. That's a good historical perspective to get. Because a lot of times we have great expectations on those who serve and govern. Apparently it's not an easy place to follow the Lord, based on 6 out of 37. That's 86% going in the wrong direction. Okay, so sometimes we look at our country, we think, you know, oh my goodness, you know, have there been leaders ever this bad? Oh yeah, you know, like for about 500 years or so. It was a rare thing to have a godly leader who turned to God. And so to know that human government, you know, don't put your trust in princes who cannot save. Instead, seek the Lord. That's the best we could do in whatever all these different nations we're in. You know, the people we're in. We're in the United States with a lot of freedoms. Human government, it's a temporary God-ordained aid against evil. Okay? God-ordained aid against evil. You see that even in Rome, which was a pretty anti-Christ government, it still had some things in place that were to protect certain directions of God's way. And so there you see the record of human ability to follow God without God's help. It doesn't work real good. The kings that represent good following and real bad following. David was one of the better kings. Man after God's own heart. The United States of America, we've never had a president like a King David. We just haven't. You can go back, you know, from the George Washington all the way up to President Obama. We would say, you know, some of those in between, they were Christian, they tried to follow the Lord. Not nearly like King David. Man after God's own heart. Big sin problem, even in the midst of following God. Okay. Solomon sought God for wisdom, tried to do the right thing half his life. He goes off the tracks. Josiah, one of the best kings, it took him about 30 to 40 years to institute a lot of changes to move the country back to God. And now remember, this is God's chosen nation. 37 leaders messing it up big time. Saul, first one. It wasn't God's plan, you know. He was plan B, to be a king. Insecure, little trust of God. Ahab, anti-God's word. He tried to fight God and Elijah and lost. Manasseh, real bad king. Son of Josiah, I believe. Manasseh, one of the worst kings in the history of any country. Toward the end of his reign, I think. You have to check it out in the Bible, see if I read the right one. He turned back to the Lord. So real bad, real evil kings, leaders, can turn back to God. And that's what we want for the responsibility of us in our own soul. One thing we know in terms of God being over government is this. This is to depict God over human government. God in the biggest possible letters that we could find, at least my computer helper there. And then down at the bottom is the 43 Bible kings of Israel, Judah. I put the U.S. presidents. You know, they're small compared to the authority and governing of God. They cannot direct history. Okay? They can't save a soul. They can't solve human problems on their own. But their job is to seek God for help. Over to the right, I have the devil and Antichrist. They're created rebellious angel. And I put their size to the extent I thought measured up to the Lord. And yet it's an exaggeration how big the devil is compared to God, who is omnipresent, all-powerful, all-knowing. You know, you can, as Psalm 2 says in Acts 4, you can get all the kings of the earth and all the rulers of the people with the devil leading the way. I guess sometime in history that's going to happen. And they're gonna take their stand against the Lord and His anointed. And here's the battle right on that screen right there. God. And then the little rebels right there. It looks from a human point of view, oh my, you know, look how rough and tough they are. 1, 2, 3. And we know, you know, power is a bad thing. But the Lord, all authority in heaven and on earth. So don't miss the sovereignty of God over the nations in the Bible and in present-day America. And as we look at our own country, we pray for it. We try to participate. We pray for godly leaders. One really important thing to remember, if you could, ask God to turn your heart into a missionary heart, because that's what we are. We have to remember this. America was never Israel. America was never Israel. And it's not Israel today. Okay. When Israel had the Ten Commandments, they said, the Lord, He is our God, and there is no other. And they had the two great commandments of Deuteronomy, love God with everything, love your neighbor. America, when America was founded, there were some good things put into our Constitution. But it was never like, we're going to be like Israel. These Ten Commandments are our commandments, and we are all about making the other nations follow Jesus. There were people in government who thought that, but never the group. Okay? That gives us a different role, being sent as a missionary to a nation that is sinful without the Lord. See, we're a missionary to America. We go and we try to introduce people to Christ so that they might follow God. We're not working with Israel over here and saying, you know, where in the world you been? You used to follow God real good. 6 out of 43. You know, you used to follow God real good, and now look what you did. It was always a chance to be a missionary to a country that's going to be sinful without Christ. Okay? So you follow the Lord with that perspective. It's a little different than thinking, you know, oh, we used to follow the Ten Commandments really great, and, you know, we loved our neighbor as ourselves every step of the way. Not on my block. I don't know where you lived, you know. If you lived on a little house on the prairie, that's good for you. But it just wasn't the case. Okay. Needing the Lord's help and God's grace so we can go share Christ to the nation that we were called to, which was a beloved nation. God shed His grace on thee. We do love a chance to be in our country. And so, see yourself as a missionary to America. It'll help you. And what are some of the other things that God's Word says to us? Remember who governs the universe, even to the extent, Isaiah said, don't look to Egypt for help. Don't look to human governments. It's not going to work. And Isaiah, he was rough on, he said, you take all the nations, you know, and compared to God, you go, achoo, You know, and it was the dust on the furniture. That puts us in a humble position. You know, that makes our expectations toward God and not toward these dear people running for office. You know, you pray for them. I shared years ago, I ran for office once, reluctantly, a government office. It was a very small government office. Homeroom, Mr. Shamrock. Okay? They needed a Mr. Shamrock for homeroom. Like, for one day I would have responsibilities. I don't know what I would do. But I lost. Okay? So, the only thing I can say is, hey, being in government is hard. It's God's. They're called by God to be God's servants. If they don't know that, it's on them. We pray for them. And so here's the Lord's perspective on even a antichrist government, which was Rome. God's servant to do good. God's servant to punish wrongdoers. God's servant so we pay taxes. You know, and ironically, we could almost see ourselves doing the first two, the last one. It's like, it's still harder to get over that on occasional basis. But you do that to honor God, because whatever is set up, God's servant. Got to have a road, got to have a military, got to have taxes. Punish the wrongdoers. To me, that says strong military, strong police, uphold the right. Or if not, chaos will reign. I put Somalia as a great persecutor. I think it was in this first service, I knew a Marine sergeant who was from another church I was at, who served in Somalia when things were really bad, still bad, but really bad. And you know, somebody said, what do you think should be done? And it was around that Black Hawk Down time and all that. He was a Christian man. He just said, I don't know. I think just wipe it all out and start from scratch, you know. That was his way of saying, we need some strong strength against that which was evil, which was taken over street by street by street in that country. But God's servant to punish wrongdoers, pray for the leaders to be able to do that, and then God's servant to do good. Pray for leaders to be able to do that, to hear a call from God in their soul. Hey, I'm here to do good. That's more important, that perspective, than all the other perspectives that happen. And this goes all the way down the line, government authority, to all kind of authorities. It's rough. President, yes. Senators, yes. Congressmen, don't look down and spit on the ground every time their name gets mentioned with Julio and the schoolyard song. Ask somebody what that means. What was he talking about? Congress, mayor, teacher. Remember having a conversation with someone. My math teacher is terrible. That's the one you're having this year. But they're terrible. They're bad. Just go and do what they ask you to do. They might get better if you're a good student. School board. Elders, parents. You know what happens? Paul said, if respect, then respect. You give that respect. I notice in my life, if I don't, in my home, when I verbalize disrespect to government, you know, I'm not talking about disagreeing with policies, I'm talking disrespect. When I verbalize disrespect to government, my sons eventually disrespect me. Because they say, well, that's how you're doing it, Dad. That's how you're doing it. You know. And what happens is, and I learned this in my own home growing up, when I disrespected my parents, they came down hard on me. If I wanted my life to be worse, they made it terrible. Okay. So when we disrespect our government, don't expect our government to say, hey, how can we help you Christians, you know, do what you're doing? They're going to say, forget you guys, you're a pain. That's all you do is nothing in terms of respect. If respect, then respect. the authority set up by God. He sets up good authorities and bad authorities. Okay, that's humbling. Well, he gave me a bad teacher to learn something. He gave me a bad boss to learn something about trusting him beyond the human. That way, there was a true story about, can play it out in some of your testimonies. A man, he's working in a place, a factory, has a terrible supervisor, you know, vulgar, cheater, cut corners, anti-Christ in every sense of the word. The Christian's like, you know, maybe I'll just, you know, murder him on the side and my problems will be over. No, he wouldn't do that. He's thinking of that. But he says, okay, I have a bad boss. I just have to go and show respect and follow God, follow this guy's directions as much as I can. Did that for a number of years, you know, and the man's heart starts to be open. Why are you so different? You know, oh, I'd like to see you get more responsibility. It's good to work with you. That's what Daniel had to deal with when he was in Babylon. You know, even the disrespected King Darius of Persia, Daniel said, after he tried to have him eaten by lions, after Darius tried to have Daniel eaten by lions, Daniel said, O king, live forever. So that measure of respect that goes down the line in a society, and we could practice that in our soul. I'm way too cultural in terms of being a Christian citizen. I want to be biblical citizen, cultural. Oh, President Obama, live forever. To be able to say it sincerely. You know, well, I didn't say it much for the last 8 years. That's God saying, this is an example for you to follow. President, whoever the next president is, President Clinton, President Trump, may you live forever. Look to the Lord to be your wisdom. And you say, well, you know, you're going to have to believe God to pray that way, right? Because it's not going to be coming out of their mouth just like automatic. But to turn to God, that servants of God, the government would know they're servants of God and follow Him. And to know they're very, very small when compared to God. To be leaning on them. In the summary, respect our leaders. Pray for our leaders. Paul said, pray for your leaders. This pleases God because He wants everybody everywhere to be saved. That's something, huh? He wants somebody like a Manasseh, who's totally against God's ways, to start to turn back to God. Pray for your leaders. A couple verses later, because He wants everybody everywhere to be saved. It'll open the door for the gospel. I guess it was Boris Yeltsin, I think, who had many problems. He was more open to Christ, and so that the country gained, you know, for a while there. Submit to our leaders in attitude, but not in action when they go against God. That, we know that. That goes without saying. You have Daniel, and the government said, don't be praying to your one God. He prayed anyway. He did what God wanted him to do. You have Peter and John. They were told by the Sanhedrin, don't be talking about Jesus anymore. They said, well, judge for yourself. It's right to obey God or obey you. We have to obey God. We don't do so belligerently. Just like some Christians. The only time we obey God is like when the government gets in our face. It's like we don't pray hardly ever, but when the government says don't pray, it's like, oh yeah, watch this. I'm not sure that pleases the Lord. When you're just praying just to spite somebody. Right? You pray because that's what you do all the time. And Moses' parents, King Pharaoh said, you've got to get rid of these Hebrew boys because they're going to take over the place. They were not afraid of the king's law. They hid Moses. They went against the established authority because they knew there was a greater authority who is God. And in our own soul, in closing, you know, Jesus confronted, a few times he's confronted by the issue of Caesar. trying to make him look bad. His questioners, they say, Jesus, should we pay taxes to Caesar? Everybody knows Caesar's anti-God, anti-Christ, and against the Hebrews. Should we pay taxes to such a one? Jesus said, let me see the coin. You know, who's on that coin? Who's the image? Caesar. Then give it back to him, you know. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's. But then the big news was, give to God what is God's. What is God's? Everything. Our life. You know, our soul, our spirit, our body. If somebody said, well, this is Caesar's image on this here coin, give it to Caesar. Somebody looked at a photo of you. Whose image is on that photo? You say, my name, you know. No, you're not made in your own image. Okay? You're not made in your own image. You're made in God's image. Give to God what is God's. You're His. You're His. And He gave His life to bring you back to Him. And we could do that. Confess His governing of your soul. Confess His governing of the mission field you and I were sent to. The beloved United States of America, merciful, and God shed His grace on us. But we never had a, you know, we were just a bunch of Christians following the Lord, and then look what happened. That's not what history bears out. Neither for the United States, nor even for Israel itself. So we can follow Him as His lights in a nation needing light and good news and warning and confession of Christ. So let's pray together. Dear Lord, thank You for freedom, opportunity. Actually, we're part of the government. That's a scary thought. But we're glad to serve. We want to see ourselves as servants of God as we vote. We want to see these people who get in office as servants of God. Whether they think so or not, Lord, you're the one who's going to put them there through the voting in our system. So we pray for those running for office that be have a heart willing to be converted toward Yourself, Your ways, Your will, that they would stand for what's right and true, and even things in your word, feel the need for their own soul for salvation.